We're glad you're joining us for A New Beginning with Greg Laurie, a podcast supported by Harvest Partners. Get more encouraging audio content when you subscribe to Pastor Greg's Daily Devos. Learn more and sign up at harvest.org.
It's Jesus only, and that's all we need.
Pastor Greg Laurie points out our salvation comes through Jesus, only through Jesus, and the price he paid on the cross at Calvary.
Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, you and I have open access to the Father 24/7. You can approach him through Christ. It's an amazing thing.
This is the day.
There's nothing like driving a wide vehicle on a narrow road to make you sweat. Things get tight, tighter still, and you suck in your breath. Come on, like that's going to make your vehicle thinner. Never done that. But narrow roads have to be taken seriously. The Bible describes the narrow road that leads to heaven. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out there are few who find it. It's only found through a relationship with Christ.
The title of my message for our time together now is simply Only Jesus. And I'm going to be looking at Mark chapter 9, when Peter definitely said the wrong thing at the wrong time. This happened when Jesus was transfigured, where he shined like the sun with Moses on one side and Elijah on the other. This happened on the mountaintop, and then they had to descend down to a valley for a rude awakening. And I think if we would have our way as Christians, we would always live on the mountaintop. We would always be in a state of perpetual blessing and good times and perfect health and no conflict, but those times on the mountaintops prepare us for what is awaiting in the valley. And when I say the valley, I'm talking about the hardships of life, the reality of life, and we're going to talk about that now in this text. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and here's what we see. Jesus went on to say, I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God arrive in great power. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them to a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus was transformed. His clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could make them. And then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, it's good that we are here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Don't miss this verse. He said this because he really didn't know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. You might underline those two words, only Jesus. And they went back down the mountain, and he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept it to themselves. But they often asked each other what it meant when he said, rising from the dead. This transfiguration, this moment where Jesus shined like the sun, is at a significant point in his earthly ministry. It's at the halfway point of a very difficult journey. So Jesus is looking back to the cradle, and he's looking forward to the cross. And he's giving to Peter, James, and John a glimpse of glory or a taste of heaven. And there they see Moses and Elijah, and of course, Jesus. And now Peter says the wrong thing at the wrong time. Verse 6, it's good we are here. And I love this detail that's added. He said this because he really didn't know what else to say. When you don't know what to say, don't say anything. But Peter says, it's good we are here. That's the operative word, here. Hey, Lord, this is blessing central. We love hanging out with you and Moses and Elijah, basking in your glory. Let's forget all this crazy talk about going to Jerusalem and dying. Let's stay here. And now Peter gets a rebuke, not from Jesus, but from the Father in heaven. Look at verse 7. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus with them. The Father steps into the conversation and effectively says, "Peter, if my son says he's going to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die, then that's what's going to happen, and you need to believe him. And if he tells you to take up your cross and follow him, you need to do it." Now Moses and Elijah are gone, and there's just Jesus. And that's all we need, only Jesus. It's not Jesus and the law and the prophets. You see, animal sacrifices are no longer needed. We don't need a high priest to step in and represent us to God any longer. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, you and I have open access to the Father 24/7. You can approach him through Christ. It's an amazing thing. It's Jesus only who's going to save you. Not Jesus plus church tradition or Jesus plus moral living. Not that you should have immoral living, but my point is, Jesus is the one who saves you. He does the work. And then as a way of honoring him and thanking him, we want to respond by living a godly life. But it's only Jesus. Jesus only. Because sometimes, frankly, friends will disappoint you. Sometimes even family will disappoint you. But the Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. Listen, friends come and go, but Jesus comes and stays. And if you've asked him into your life, he's not going to leave you and he's not going to forsake you. You have his word on that, because only Jesus can heal a broken heart. Only Jesus can give you the strength to go on when it's getting hard. As David wrote in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That's how we get through the valleys of life. That's how we get through the storms of life. That's how we get through the hardships of life. We realize we're not alone, that God is walking with us through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego discovered that as they walked through their fiery furnace, and there was a fourth person with them that the king said looked like the Son of God. I believe Jesus was walking with those three young teenage Hebrew boys. And when it's all said and done, it's only Jesus. When you're on your deathbed, it's only Jesus who will save you, and it's only Jesus that you will stand before.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, I want to encourage you to check out the new Harvest Plus app. It's on Roku, Apple TV, and Google Play, among others. And you can stream incredible content on all major platforms for free. You're going to find live events, our evangelistic films like A Rush of Hope, Johnny Cash, A Redemption of an American Icon, Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon, and our newest film, Fame. Plus, our TV programs, our podcast, Harvest at Home, and a lot more. Stream it all on any device for free using the new Harvest Plus app.
Well, we've been witnessing the transfiguration of Christ by way of Mark's account in Mark chapter 9. Pastor Greg points out there's even more to be learned following that amazing event.
So now they're descending from this mountaintop, this place of mega blessings, to face a crisis, to face a conflict in the valley, if you will. And they're going to realize that not only Jesus can save them, but only Jesus can overcome the devil. Go back to Mark chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 20 to 24. So there was a father who had a demon-possessed boy. He brought his boy to the disciples, asking for some help, but they were not able to help this man or this boy. So our story picks up in Mark chapter 9, verse 20. They brought the boy to Jesus. The demon saw Jesus and at once held the boy in his power, and the boy fell to the ground with spit running from his mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" The father said, "Well, from the time he was a child. Many times it throws him into the fire and into the water to kill him. If you can do anything to help us, take pity on us." And Jesus said, "Why do you ask me that? The one who has faith can do all things." At once the father cried out and said with tears in his eyes, "Lord, I have faith. Help my unbelief." Powerful story. Now we've come from the mountaintop to the valley, and crisis hits. Often after the mountaintop, there is the valley. Going back to the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, when did that happen? That happened after the Father spoke another time. Remember, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin, John the Baptizer. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit of God came upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And we read, immediately he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So after the dove came the devil. And a lot of times after the blessing comes the challenge. After the blessing comes the temptation. So we should not be surprised when those things happen. Notice that as Jesus approaches this demon-possessed boy, the devil effectively tightens his grip. Verse 20 says, the demon saw Jesus and at once held the boy in his power. Listen to this. When you seek to share the gospel with someone, expect satanic opposition. You're entering into a time of spiritual warfare. Remember in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, a sower went out to sow seed. Some seed fell on the roadside and the birds ate it. And he said, these are they that hear the word of God, and Satan comes immediately to take it away. So the devil attacks when we're trying to reach people. So this boy was coming closer to Jesus, and the devil wants to stop him from coming. This poor father, he's at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to do for his son. And he says to Jesus in verse 22, "If you can do anything to help us, take pity on us." And the Lord has a very strong reaction to this. Look at verse 23. Jesus says, "Why do you ask me that? The one who has faith can do all things." Effectively, Jesus is saying, what do you mean, if I can? If I can help you, of course I can. Don't forget, I was just transfigured with Moses and Elijah. Don't forget, I walked on water and I healed a blind man and I raised a person from the dead. If I can, of course I can. I can handle this. But here's what he's saying. You need to have faith right now. It's a very good idea for us to remember God's faithfulness to us in the past when we're facing trouble in the moment. Because we'll say, oh, God's forgotten about me. God's abandoned me. No, he hasn't. I love how when you read Psalm 107, it reflects on the faithfulness of God to the nation Israel. And it talks about how the Lord delivered them from the bondage of Pharaoh, how the Lord fed them in the wilderness with manna, how the Lord brought them through the Red Sea. And then the refrain that is stated over and over again is, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. So they wrote it down. I encourage you, keep a journal and write down how God has answered your prayers. And then the next time when you're facing a challenge, reflect back on God's faithfulness to you in the past, which will remind you he will also be faithful to you in the present and in the future, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, this man's faith was weak because he put his eyes on his problem instead of putting them on the Lord. The same happens to us when we forget God's word to us. You see, the way you build your faith is by reading the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you apply it. So that's why we need to know the scripture and memorize the scripture. And then Jesus says in verse 23, anything is possible if a person believes. So man, have faith right now. And I love the honesty of this man's statement And verse 24, with tears in his eyes, he says, Lord, I have faith. Help my unbelief. That's an honest prayer, isn't it? To just say, Lord, I believe, but my faith is not perfect. And I have unbelief at times. And we all have unbelief at times. We all have lapses of faith at times. We all have momentary doubts. But this man was honest. And guess what? Jesus met him more than halfway, and he answered the man's prayer, and he healed the child. Yeah, it would be nice if we could stay on mountaintops, wouldn't it? No more problems, no more troubles. But we all have to come and live in the valley of life, the reality of life. But God will be with us in those times, because really, those mountaintops are preparing us for reality. It's not necessarily more mountaintops we need in the Christian life. It's more day-to-day obedience, where we're walking by faith and not by feeling. There is coming a day in the future when there will be no more temptation, no more devil, no more suffering. And this is sort of a sneak preview of things to come. But Christ will return to this earth and establish his kingdom. I read the story of a man who was convicted for murder, and he was being tried. The man's defense attorney thought he had come up with an ingenious ploy, and he went to the jury and he said, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must find my client is not guilty of murder. If there is the slightest doubt in your mind about his guilt, you must not convict him. And I'm going to produce one final witness. The true murderer is about to walk through the door. And he pointed over to the door, and every eye in the courtroom looked that direction. And the lawyer said, see, you do have doubts. Therefore, I'm asking that you find my client innocent. So then the jury returned, after they had deliberated over this for around 5 hours, with a guilty verdict. The lawyer was beside himself. That this kind of a sentence would be passed. He says, your honor, I proved that you had a doubt about my client's guilt. How could you possibly find him guilty? And then the foreman of the jury, an older gentleman, said in response, well, as everyone looked toward the door, I watched your client. And his eyes did not look toward the door because he knew no one was coming. That's why we found him guilty. Listen, we're all guilty because we've all sinned against God. Every one of us have broken his commandments and fallen short of his glory. But one day, Jesus is going to walk through that door, and he's going to establish his kingdom. But until that day, it is so important that we have a relationship with God. Remember, when Jesus was born in that manger, it was so he could die on that cross for your sin, because we're separated from the Lord by our sin. Remember, Moses and Elijah were having an in-depth discussion with Jesus about his death and why that was so important. And they were encouraging him, no doubt, for him to go through with this. Think how hard it was for Jesus to take the cross and carry it through the streets of Jerusalem after he had already had his back ripped open with a Roman whip. And even more, think how hard it was for Jesus to bear all the sins of the world. See, that is what he was contemplating in the Garden of Gethsemane. Being God, he knew what was ahead. He knew he would have to take all the corruption, all the sin upon himself. And he did not want to do it. And that is why he said to the Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But he did it. He went on with it, and he accomplished it. It died on that cross for your sin and rose again from the dead. And now he offers you the ultimate gift, and it's the gift of eternal life. And you can reach out and accept this gift. You can receive this gift, and you can be forgiven of all of your sin. Would you like that to happen? Jesus, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, stands at the door of your life right now, and he knocks, and he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Would you like Jesus to come into your life? Would you like him to forgive you of your sin? Would you like to receive this gift of eternal life? You say, yes, I would. What do? You do it in prayer. The Bible says, if we will call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. So in a moment, I would like to lead you in a prayer that you could pray along with me, where you would be saying to God, I need Jesus in my life. I need my sin forgiven. I need a fresh start in life. I want to know with confidence that one day I will go to heaven. And if you will pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart, God will hear your prayer and God will answer your prayer. This can be not just a game changer. This can be a life changer for you right here, right now. If you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin, if you want to go to heaven when you die, if you want your guilt taken away, pray this prayer with me. You could even pray it out loud if you like. Just pray these words, if you would, please. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who was born in the manger, who died on the cross, and who rose from the dead. Now, Jesus, come into my life. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for hearing this prayer and answering it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer with those who are making a decision for the Lord today. It's a day some will remember for the rest of their lives. And if you've just prayed with Pastor Greg today here on A New Beginning, well, first of all, we want to welcome you into the family of God. And second, we want to help you get started. Let us send you Pastor Greg's New Believer's Bible. It has scores of helps specifically for new believers, including a section called First Steps, to help you know God's plan for your life, how to know you're saved, how to find the right church, how to study the Bible, and more. And we'll be glad to send you the New Believer's Bible free of charge if you'll call us at 1-800-821-3300. Call anytime, 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Well, we're excited to make available a brand new book. It's a 90-day devotional for kids by pastor and author Levi Lesko called Marvel at the Moon. Levi's here today, and we wanted to have a little fun. So, Levi Lesko, are you ready to play How Well Do You Know Our Moon?
Absolutely.
All right, let's begin. How many miles away is the moon?
Well, it's a range because its distance is constantly varying, but it is roughly 240,000 miles, depending on its how its orbit is going.
You are correct. First one correct from Levi Lesko.
Well done.
Very well done. Okay, second one. Does the moon rotate in the same direction as the Earth or the opposite direction?
Well, there's asynchronous rotation, so the moon always keeps its back faced away from us. We never have seen the dark side of the moon. So it does rotate, but it's asynchronous rotation.
You are correct, sir.
Very good.
All right. How much smaller is the moon than the Earth?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's roughly the size of the United States, so it's substantially smaller.
He is a cheat sheet.
Yeah, Levi is correct again. Now, next one. How many people have walked on the moon?
Wow.
Oh, wow. 21?
Oh. My sources say 12.
Oh, 12. 12's right. No. It's 12. Go with your sources. Go with yours.
On which Apollo mission did they say, Houston, we have a problem?
13.
Okay, let's check the radio communications from that mission.
All right, Houston, we've had a problem. Okay, stand by, 13. We're looking at it.
You are correct, sir. Now, what percentage of the moon's surface is made of green cheese?
0%.
That was an easy one.
You are correct, sir. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, is that really amore?
That's a fact. That's actually established.
You are correct, sir. And Levi Lesko has gotten a perfect score on our How Well Do You Know Our Moon contest.
Except I said the astronauts backwards. It was 12, not 21, so I said got that
well,
one wrong.
We'll give you that.
It will call it 10% wrong.
That's good.
90.
So did you have to do a lot of extra studying to prepare all 90 devotions in this book?
You know, substantially. I probably read 10,000 pages and visited the Smithsonian Air and Space, all three of the significant sites to the NASA program in the United States. Got to interview several astronauts. But I loved it. Yeah. That was not suffering at all.
That's amazing. You know, I had the opportunity to meet a couple of astronauts myself. In all places, I was in a department store in London, England, waiting for my wife to shop. And who was standing there? John Glenn. At that point, he was a senator. And we just started engaging because he was waiting for his wife as well. I mean, it was so amazing to meet this legendary astronaut.
Wow.
And then on another occasion, I met astronaut James Irwin, who walked on the moon and talked about how he sensed the presence of God there. Mm. I mean, these guys, so amazing and so courageous,
yeah.
These astronauts that went into outer space. And Levi's long had a fascination with outer space and astronauts and the space program. And he's taken that personal interest and turned it into an amazing book for kids. And it's called Marvel at the Moon, 90 devotions based on the Bible and outer space that you can use to engage your little ones and teach them more about Jesus Christ. And we have this book, which is beautifully illustrated, by the way, available to you this month for your gift of any size. So whatever you send, we'll make sure that gets put to good use to get the gospel out to more people and to teach the Word of God. And you're going to love this gorgeous hardback cover book that you'll keep on the nightstand next to your child's bed that you can read to them. You'll probably want to do it again after you finish these 90 devotions. So order your copy of Marvel at the Moon right now. Dave, tell them how they can get one for themselves.
Yeah, it's so simple. Just contact us with your investment and mention that title, Marvel at the Moon. We'll be glad to send it right out to you. Call us at 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, we'll see Mary, the sister of Martha, offered an extraordinary gesture of kindness and love toward Jesus, but she was criticized for it. What we can learn from that moment next time. Join us on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher Greg Laurie.
A New Beginning is a podcast made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. If this show has impacted your life, share your story, leave a review on your favorite podcast app, and help others find hope.